Text this morning is from the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 7. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Before I begin my sermon this morning, let me just underscore a couple of other things pertaining to annual meeting. If you haven't voted today, you will find if you're a member of the church and 15 years of age or older, a voting place. If you have already voted, you will need to vote again on one section of the ballot, all right? And then we might say that tonight we're going to conclude any other necessary voting. I don't anticipate any, but we'll also have that great Sunday go-to-meeting down home, old-fashioned thing, whatever it is, and it's a great time, and you'll enjoy it. I think I know just about all the songs. That's the end of my annual meeting thing. I want to take a point of personal privilege, too, to say you'll notice that Larry Bryant's not sitting with me this morning, as he usually does, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate Larry. Larry has been more than 40 years in full-time Christian service, 29 years in Central and South America on the mission field, and then had a heart attack which incapacitated him. He thought he'd never be able to do anything again. And when he came, next Sunday night after church, we'd like to have a reception. I don't know where we'll have it just yet. It'll either be in the dining hall of the college or one of the parlors. I don't think we can have it upstairs here. I hope it's too big for that. But I would like for you to just come by, and I don't hope it doesn't hurt his heart, but be a wonderful way to... No, it wouldn't be a wonderful way to go either. I'm sorry about my weird sense of humor. Forgive me. It's the way I want to go, but not him. But you got the message, all right? Next Sunday night. And you don't need to tell him about it this week. He knows we're going to just recognize him. He thinks in the service I'm going to give him a handshake or something. But let's do something nice for him, okay? That ninth verse encapsulates what I want to say in this state of the church message. I am the door. I have 3 points. If anyone enters through me, point one, he shall be saved. Point number two, and shall go in. And point number three, and out, and find pasture. Okay? Isn't it strange and wonderful that in this suave and civilized society, the most cherished concepts of our faith have to do with sheep and shepherd? We're hardly a pastoral group. I don't know how many of you have ever actually touched a sheep. I'm not going to take the time to ask. And yet we call our preachers or spiritual leaders pastor. I think that's the title, if you want to give me a title, that I love the most, is when somebody with knows what they're saying says, "Pastor." And we take great comfort in knowing and reciting, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The psalmist declares in Psalm 100, "We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." There's great comfort in that kind of assurance. And in that context, in this particular 10th chapter of John, Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. I have come that you might share the quality of life that I know. I have come to lay down my life for you, but I'll take it up again so that I can live for you. And he says, each of us can share in that ministry of the Good Shepherd. Most of my message today has to do with vision of what our church here can be under God's leadership. But a state of the so-called state of the church message also needs to deal with the church as it is and what the past year has brought forth. And so I'd like to look at where I believe the Good Shepherd has led us. The kind of church year we've had, in one sense, has to be reflected on a personal level and has to be evaluated by you personally. If you've been saved or sanctified, if you've been brought closer to the Lord this year, if somehow the fellowship has ministered to you, then in one most important way, our church year has been a success. And no matter what the statistics might show, if you or I haven't grown, if we've been stagnant, or if we're a little farther away from the shepherd than we were a year ago today, then no matter what we say the church is doing, the church has failed to some extent. But the composite picture of the church year is generally good. In addition to the facts and figures in our annual report booklet, which show involvement in several areas of ministry and financial increase, as we are now even in the process of meeting the challenge of physical expansion, we've added 28 new members this year, 12 by profession of faith. In all fairness, in our bookkeeping, we've also lost 23 members by transfer and death. We're staying on the plus side, but we're adding real people all along. And this is a good indicator, but I will be surprised and disappointed if we don't show an increase in this vital statistic next year at this time. And already there are a number of folk that have expressed desire to join the church, and that's fine. But I would like to spend the most of my time this morning, and it's not going to be a long message, about where the Good Shepherd wants to lead us as a church. I don't have any other way of presenting this than giving you my own vision of what the Good Shepherd is saying here, about what he wants to do with his sheep. In this passage, Jesus combines two figures in himself. He says both, I am the Good Shepherd, and he says, I am the door. By me, Jesus says, you enter and are saved, and then you go in and you go out and you find pasture. I see the church as a place, first of all, of sanctuary, of healing, of salvation. The church as haven or sanctuary. By me, Jesus says, if you enter in, ye shall be saved. Rightly, we have a narrow view of salvation. By that we mean, either you're ready to die and go to heaven or you're not. Salvation is a broad term too. It has to do with all of what God wants to do in the area of redeeming us. And the church is a place of salvation. Maybe you think it's weak or cowardly of me to want a place or even crave a place where I can go and not get pressed and beaten with the wisdom, so-called wisdom of our civilization. But I still believe that one great function of the church is to be a retreat, a different place, a holy place, often a quiet place, where the shepherd can lead me beside the still waters and restore my soul. I was saved in that narrow sense, more than 40 years ago. But I still need that sanctuary, that retreat, that redemption that comes. And I believe that God wants our church to be a place of healing and salvation and receiving love and life, a place where life begins. And I believe if we consciously want it to be this and invite the shepherd to help us to be a part of this, this place can be a haven, a sanctuary, a place where miracles take place, not the kind that are promoted on television perhaps, although maybe that kind too, but not to the glory of this church or any person, but because that's the way Jesus wants it to be. And he says, by me ye shall be saved. But we come in for more than just salvation and succor. I also get the picture of the church as a place where we come in, or to use the vernacular, a come place. By me ye shall go in. The presence of the Good Shepherd makes a church an attractive place to come to. And I see the ideal church, I see the Wollaston Church as a home. By me ye shall go in. Maybe in many respects that's the same thing as seeing the church as a sanctuary or a haven. Certainly both of these concepts, the idea of a sanctuary and a home, are coming in type functions of the church. Both of them see the church as a come place, and that's all right. It is a come place. But a home is more than just a sanctuary. A home is much, much more than just a nursery where children are born. And while a home is or should be at times a sanctuary, it's much, much more. A home is not always a quiet place. At least mine never was. A home bustles with activity. There are times around the table, both the banquet table, when you bring out your good china and your linen, and the Thanksgiving table when everybody comes in and we have a great old time, and the picnic table when you go outside and you split a watermelon. Good times around the table. Can we talk about receiving spiritual food for just a moment? People say, I want to go to a church where I can be fed. And certainly a church is a place where people should receive spiritual nourishment. But there's a difference between a home and a gas station. Between filling up your car's gas tank with super unleaded and sitting down at the dinner table with the people you love. And we can think of the table as a place where we get refueled to go out and do the important stuff, like making a living and playing tennis and going to school and going fishing. Those are all important. But every truly happy family knows at least a good bit of the time what happens around the table and how it happens and the spirit in which it happens is as important as the going out itself. Happy is the family that regularly realizes that eating together can be a sacrament. And perhaps the attitude of each one of us as we come in to the church can help determine whether our church will be a filling station where you come and say, 10 gallons please, and hurry up, I got things to do. Or whether it's a dinner table and we come in and sit down and say, I'm here with people I love. Worship is the central purpose of any Christian church. What is essential is that we come in contact with the Good Shepherd regularly. Worship is not just a matter of what we do and how we do it. But real worship must always involve being before the Lord, and a deliberate seeking of God and God's will, and subjection to the authority of God's Word. There's a lot more I'd like to share about what we do in the come or come in functions of the church. By me ye shall go in. But our time is limited. I'd like to talk about the difference in our Sunday school classes between teaching and learning a lesson as opposed to teaching and learning how to help each other and how to find the resources necessary for growing in grace. And it's not always vital and important that we get through the lesson. But it is always important that we listen to each other and to what God's Word can say to help us get through that week. I'd like to talk about my concern for welcoming people that come into our church. And if you're here for the first time this morning, just forgive us. I'm talking to the family, but we hope you like us and come back and become family yourself, all right? But I'd like to talk about the difference between a passive inner welcome that we feel for strangers and that little extra that breaks over natural shyness and actually smiles and says, "Hello." You know that this past year, actually, hundreds of visitors have gone through our services? I'd like to talk about my concern for qualified, caring altar workers. During this past year, and to God be the glory, we've seen more than 200 people, conservatively counting, kneel at these altars, asking God to save them or sanctify them or meet definite spiritual need. I'm not talking about those that come on Sunday morning to open altar. I'm talking about people who've deliberately stepped out into the aisle and have come and said, "I need help." These seekers have come, part of the come in. And all of us care. I care, you care. But how many of us care enough to spend a few minutes praying with the seekers that we know and praying for those we don't know? The reason I say this is not because I want to find fault with the church I love, but because I see this natural shyness in myself. I believe we're doing pretty well, but there's room for improvement here. Maybe over the next 12 months you can smile at somebody you don't know and say, "I'm glad you're here. How are you?" This will be a start anyway. In 12 months, that's not too much of an assignment, is it? But the vision I see of the church is that it's not only a come place, but the church is a go place. And I see the church as a launching pad. Jesus said, "By me ye shall go out." And the church that Jesus would have us visualize and strive for is not complete unless and until we leave the sanctuary and use the door, which is our Savior, to go in and out. Our church can go out, and we do, and I thank the Lord for it, by sending missionaries and money to the wide world. Giving is not unimportant. And the level of our giving is indicative of seriousness of mission. Money is not evil. An inordinate love of money is evil. But at one level, money means condensed life. You trade a certain amount of your life for a paycheck. And when you give that to the Lord, it is not insignificant. And so far away and in cities at home, the people called Nazarenes are still sending and giving. This past year, the Wollaston Church has been a vital part of that going out. In our faith promise this year, to my surprise, We doubled our pledges of last year. We didn't double our giving because we overgave. We pledged about a little more than half of what we gave last year. I think that's healthy too. But I'm excited about the fact that we haven't peaked. We haven't quit giving more and more for missions. We can also go out in challenging the best of our young people to lives of under-shepherding. I used to say, we want our best to go into full-time Christian service, but really, is there any other kind of Christian service but full-time? Besides, one hope of the future of the Church of Jesus Christ is in dedicated tent makers who have a definite call to see the Church of Jesus Christ go out into the highways and the inner cities and the Saudi Arabias and places where ordained clergy are not welcome. But still, what I'm trying to say this morning is that there is a need for some of our very best young people to hear and answer God's call for the necessary training to be full-time ministers and missionaries and college professors and church workers. We've got to maintain the body while at the same time the body functions. But perhaps the most absolutely most vital way the church must learn to go out is by every last one of us taking Jesus out with us wherever we go. In witness, trying to win people to the Lord, yes. But it doesn't have to always be dramatic, and it doesn't have to always be pressing for the decision right now. Perhaps that should be in our mind all the time. But more clearly, positively, in mind can be, by me ye shall go out, and we take Jesus with us to care about others and be part of the world's healing instead of part of the world's wounding. Until by our spirit at the checkout counter and at the restaurant table and in the classroom where we interact with other people, we'll take Jesus and His Spirit where we go. The way we must move toward God's will for us and for our church is by consciously using the door. The abundant life Jesus speaks of requires all our ransom powers. Jesus also said in this very same gospel that He is the light of the world, that He is the bread of heaven, that He is the resurrection and the life, victory over death. He also said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. And He said, I'm the true vine. If you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. But also He reminds us that He is Himself the door through which those who want to know all these other facets of what God is need to enter. He is the good shepherd that will help us to enter in at the door. And I would remind you this morning that a door is the exclusive way into life. Jesus makes it plain that we can't enter in any other way except through Him. And a door always means an exit as well as an entering. We can't go in and out with Jesus and at the same time be relying on our own wisdom and our own influence or our own knowledge or our own goodness. And somehow in all of this, there has to be this consciousness of a higher purpose and higher loyalty. I've shared my vision with you. But in the last paragraph of my written report, I've said, I have a vision and you have a vision. And sometimes those visions aren't exactly the same. But Jesus knows how to take our ultimate goal that goes beyond just selfishness or personal ambition. Our ultimate goal goes beyond the Wollaston Church of the Nazarene, beyond our own personal growth and development. I want to be all that God would have me to be. But I have to say, Lord, whatever that means to You, whatever You want for me, I will obey Your vision. And I believe there can be a holy rest And I hope I'm not misunderstood, but in one sense, even an indifference to the visible results of our labors for the ultimate success and scorekeeping in what is or is not a successful church is beyond the measure of man's mind. And our first consideration must be to be people of integrity before God, and to seek to be open with Him and obedient to Him and available to Him in our coming in for attention and food and care, and in our going out to take His love and concern and care to others wherever we range in our daily assignments. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. It's His church. He's the door. And the door is open to us today. Shall we pray? Lord, make our church a place of healing, a sanctuary, a place where people can find life. Lord, make our church a home. May it bustle with activity. But may we all come to the table to love You and love each other. Make our church a launching pad, and help us to empty out of the church between our meetings together to take You wherever we go. Thank You for what You've done. Forgive us where we have frustrated Your vision. Forgive us, Lord, where we haven't been good mirrors of Your compassion. But Lord, look at our hearts and by Your grace see that we do want to serve You. We want to be Your church. And how we praise You for what You've been able to do with what we've been able to give You. Now, Lord, would you see our desire, see the prayer of our hearts, and grant that this coming year will be the best year, if You tarry, that we've ever known, as You would count success. We love You. In Jesus' holy name, our Shepherd, we pray. Amen.